An interesting item in the Irish news, and it's a headline, Identity Issues and Brexit Will Dictate Voter Choices. John Manley, writing in the paper, says, all but three of the North's 11 councils have approved inflation-busting rates hikes in recent weeks, while some local authorities send 10 times the amount of rubbish to landfill than their neighbours. These are two major issues over which councils have control, but it's unlikely they'll be to the fore in people's minds as they enter the polling booth on Thursday. And John is on the line. John, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
John, we're also hearing this morning on the programme about child poverty. I don't know whether any councillor can do anything about that. They can certainly rattle cages. But you make a very, very good point regarding what councils have powers to do and what points voters are going to be making on Thursday. A lot of people don't even understand that it is a council election. They just see another opportunity to vote green or orange or to express an opinion on Brexit, even though the council elections have diddly squat to do with Brexit.
Yeah, and I think another third option is that they may not vote at all. Frank, I think a big fear about this coming Thursday would be a high degree of voter apathy. You know, it's very rare for us to have a standalone council election like this. For example, in 2014, it coincided with the European elections, where, you know, so people go to the ballot box to cast their vote twice, and that tends to lift turnout. So, and now, as you know, we are scheduled to have another a European election later in the month on the 23rd of May. Whether that, you know, people just might be election weary, I think, at the moment, or election fatigue, as they call it.
Yeah, but I would imagine on the doorstep, people are not asking questions about what the councillors can do at a local level. They're not asking about the street lighting. They're not asking about the bins. They're not asking about planning. They're talking to the politicians, maybe in anger at the lack of governance from Stormont, or they may be complaining about the stand a party has taken on Brexit. It's like a different level that the voters are expressing their annoyance or maybe their pleasure about, whereas they're taking it out on the councillors who don't have the power to do anything about it. So are we really going into these elections on Thursday to vote for or against parties as opposed to for or against councillors?
Yes, I think so. You know, I imagine if a councillor does call at your door, I haven't had anybody knock at my door, I must admit, but then I'm out all day. So, you know, when they do call, I imagine people do raise issues like street lighting, planning, et cetera, those things. But although the councillors, it must be said, do not have control over street lighting.
That's actually important. That's important because it's one of those things that we do bring up with our councillors, but yet no, they'll relay us to the relevant department.
Yeah, exactly. But they do have very limited powers. But the last thing a councillor is going to do is knock on your door and say, you know, I have very limited powers, so there's not much real point in voting for me. I'm not a big fan of local government myself, Frank, you know, because of that, you know, it really doesn't serve a function. It's just, it gives the illusion of giving people power, I think, in many ways. So to go back to the, you know, what are people actually voting about? I'd say it's for an indication of that, you maybe look at the party election broadcasts that have been on TV over recent weeks. And I think maybe with the exception of the Alliance Party, who put their councillors very much to the fore and stress that this is an election about, you know, a local government election. Now, that might be the reason for that, perhaps, is that the Alliance Party doesn't have any members of Parliament, or possibly any prospect of any members of Parliament, so they feel that they must stress their strength at local government level. But generally, the parties, you know, the DUP, for example, you get shots of Arlene and Arlene Foster and Nigel Dodds going into Downing Street. The relevance of that to where you cast your vote in the local government election, I'm not entirely sure, but it really just, it underlines that you're voting for a brand as much as the guy you know, the local councillor you know that you may go and discuss your planning application with.
Yeah, you do say that, you know, you haven't much time for local government, but now that we've 11 super councils instead of, I think there were 26 previously, now that we've got these so-called super councils, do they not have any superpowers?
Not really. Stormont ensured it. In my view, Stormont is a super council. It's the equivalent of, you know, one of the big sort of metropolitan councils you would get in Britain. So, really to have even then another layer of government is we're over governed in many ways. But yes, now we don't have, Stormont blocked a lot of the powers that were going to be devolved to the local councils, such as regeneration powers and different things. So they are quite limited. They have this control over planning, which was previously more centralised. I'm thinking many councils, you'll find a massive backlog in the number of planning applications. You'd have to question whether councillors are qualified to pass certain applications, because often they go against what the planners themselves, what qualified professional planners would recommend. The councillors often overturn that. And in many ways, you're building up, potentially building up problems in the future for the sake of short-term expediency.
I see someone saying there, I'm home all day, every day, and not one candidate has knocked my door. Count your blessings. You hardly want a whole load of knocks during the course of the day if you're in the house. But do you get a sense, John, then, that probably it would have been an exceptionally low turnout if there hadn't have been the Brexit debacle and there hadn't have been the other issues that reared their ugly head recently here in Northern Ireland? We would have had a very, very low turnout on Thursday. But now that politics is so much in the news, that people are chomping on the bit to get into a polling station.
I don't know, Frank. I don't know. It's difficult to gauge because, you know, yes, people are concerned about the implications of Brexit and differences, but do they really think by going and casting a vote for a local councillor that, or and many councillors, because let's not forget it's proportional representation, so you can use your vote many times. But do they really think that that will have the affect the outcome of Brexit? I don't think so. And, you know, similarly, does voting for a unionist councillor, does that do anything to secure the union? Or conversely, voting for Sinn Féin, does it take us any nearer to United Ireland? I don't think so. And it really, what it requires is we need to refocus the debate and have it more, you know. How we do that, I don't know. There's a role for the media here, but really try and make it about local issues, about recycling, about your rate spill, about what you're getting, because I think it lets a lot of local councils, by voting for these identity issues, you let them off the hook.
Just one final point to you, John, regarding the bigger picture at Stormont. Do you see any progress being made there, considering the talks and the negotiations and the meet-ups of governments?
I'm not optimistic, Frank. I don't think we'll you know, the midsummer deadline that was mentioned last week, I think, is overly optimistic. I think perhaps we may get a bit of groundwork done and give us an idea of what needs to be done, but no, I wouldn't hold out on it too much hope. There's just too many things looming in the background, namely Brexit, namely the report from Sir Patrick Coughlan's RHI inquiry, the DUP's confidence in supply, deal with the Tories. All these things are somehow impeding the possibility of agreement. So I think with the two governments' hands has been forced by a sort of an outpouring of public sentiment. And, you know, I think they maybe just tried to put things together too early.
Okay, John, thank you very much indeed. John Manley, no words of encouragement or inspiration there for politicians, saying it as he sees it, the political correspondent with the Irish News.